This is Talking Business. Well, I'm joined now by Andrew Alcock, who's the CEO of Hub24. G'day, Andrew.
Hi, Alan.
Thanks for joining us. Hub24, listed company, started in 2007. Perhaps you better explain to us what exactly Hub24 does, and then we can take it from there.
Hub24 is a investment and superannuation administration platform, very similar to the platforms that a lot of the major banks and other institutions operate, like Macquarie Wrap or BT Wrap, where consumers can, with the help of their advisor, save for their retirement, manage their pension and payments and income streams, accumulate for their retirement, and hopefully achieve their goals.
So at June 30, I think you had $8.3 billion under administration. So that's over 11 years. Where does that money come from?
Look, the money comes from a broad cross-section of the market. It generally, it all arrives as a result of a consumer, a mum and a dad, if you like, working with their financial advisor to implement strategies for their retirement. So it's coming from across the market. It's generally people who do have a financial advisor who are concerned about their future, as we should be in this nation.
Now, what I mean is, have you taken that off the banks and AMP?
Of course, a lot of the funds coming into our business do come from other competitors. Platforms from advisors who choose to pick an innovative modern solution that really can create a difference for their clients' retirement in the next generation of solutions that surpass what I would arguably say are the legacy platforms operated by the competitors.
Yeah, so I suppose I'm interested in just discussing with you whether and the extent to which Hub24 is a vehicle for a transformation of the industry from being, I guess, dominated by the banks and AMP, the big players, towards being more fragmented.
Oh, look, absolutely. I could say that we think we've led some change and disruption, and that would be, partly arrogant from our perspective, but we really do think we've contributed to influencing the marketplace such that our voice and our products have actually caused trends that were already underway to accelerate. In conjunction with others of our peers have also done that. So we are seeing a transformation. We are seeing consumers really want value. We are seeing pricing pressure and new entrants like Hub24 offering a great value proposition, which really has a whole supermarket of investments and insurance options and cash providers that simply weren't available in some of the traditional platforms where the architecture or the offering was maybe a little bit more closed, a little bit more of you can buy my cash products or my insurance manufactured by a bank, as opposed to an open market, which allows a client or a consumer to plug and play the best solutions for them to get the best outcomes, rather than being shoehorned into one particular outcome.
Yeah. Look, I'm sold on it. I think it's been fantastic development for the industry. But what do you see as when you say that the trend was already underway? What is the trend exactly? I mean, is it to do with the way that advisors are owned and operate, or what?
Oh, look, I think our industry has evolved over decades and decades from being an industry where consumers had access to products through people who were selling products or distributing products. And I think that the institutions that provided solutions typically took that approach. How do I get volume? How do I get inflow? How do I get my distribution team to get me more sales? Whereas we are talking about consumers' financial longevity. We are talking about their ability to retire in comfort, which is a far more subjective and personal and if you like, fiduciary matter for organisations to be thinking about rather than how do I flog product. So that consumer sentiment's been growing over the last few years as Australia's population ages and people think about how much social security there will be. So consumers are driving that trend. The industry evolution away from sales and distribution to, gee, I really need to provide these people with good advice. Good advice that helps them maximise their position, helps them think about tax planning, estate planning. So we're seeing a shift away from selling to advising. And that in itself is actually questioning the commercial models in which this industry has operated. So where you had institutions thinking about how do I sell my own managed funds or investments, my own insurance, my own cash, that's probably against the interests of consumers if those products aren't in their own right best of breed. So the trends are coming from advisors, they're coming from regulators, they're coming from consumer sentiment. We're seeing this happen all around the world. We've seen it happen in the UK, we've seen it happen in the US, where we think about people's retirement as something that's very personal and very meaningful for them. So do we have the right as an industry to inflict or shoehorn particular product strategies when they may not be in the best interest or for the better outcome of the consumer? So there's a lot of influences there that are happening. Backed up with that is technology is allowing us to plug and play solutions very differently to the past. So we use really modern technology that's our own technology that allows us to actually integrate multiple solutions so you can get a better solution for your client. You can get arguably better retirement outcomes because we're creating efficiencies with how assets are administered. This is, I suppose, the evolution and the maturing of an industry that many people said years ago was a cottage industry in Australia. It's not sustainable if we don't get it right. Add to that what's happening with the government, the Royal Commission, and all the scandals we hear about. Those drivers are also increasing the trend. So Hub24, if you like, has been at the forefront of that. We've never operated a conflicted model. We've always had a clean sheet of paper in terms of how we build product. We've had to build it in a way that's sustainable for advisors and for the end customer, as opposed to, I suppose, sponsoring our own interests. So that in itself has played well to the trends that are there and allowed us to echo sentiment in the marketplace. And as we've seen, others have followed. We've actually led change, and the banks and other institutions are now trying to emulate our product development because they need to follow because the trend is accelerating.
To what extent is it about price? I mean, what do you charge, and how does that compare with what the bank products, the bank platforms have been charging?
Oh, look, our price is very, very...
I just note that as we speak, there's been quite an event recently where BT, the Westpac subsidiary, has cut its prices significantly, which caused your share price to go down and a few of the others to go down as well, Net Wealth and so on. So it seems to be price is becoming more of an issue.
Oh, look, price is an issue. And I think that if you have a stranglehold in a market or a very large dominant position and you see a competitor come in and start eating your lunch, you have to respond. You either respond with product innovation or price or both. In our context, we have market-leading products, and so the response from the competitor has been on price. Interestingly, if we applied that BT price, and you've asked it across our book, we think our fees would go up, so we still remain competitive. They've had a response, but it doesn't actually match the price that we offer in the marketplace. So the average consumer...
What is your price?
Look, it is a tiered structure. It's a little bit complicated, but if you think about it from the point of view of looking at our entire portfolio, our portfolio administration fees across the $8.3 billion average around 0.3%.
And how does that compare with what BT's announced?
BT's announcement, we believe, is higher than that. We get to do the analysis. It is fresh news. Their traditional price could have been 0.5%. And on top of that, there's some hidden fees and charges that are quite different as well. So, look, they've come far closer to our price, but we still think we're below. We're still yet to do that analysis. In fact, we're delighted with the response. We think that actually says that competition's alive and consumers will win. And we'll now be competing on product features even more than we have in the past.
Do you think the Royal Commission is going to, in a sense, complete the revolution in this industry?
That's a really interesting question, Alan. I think that the Royal Commission is adding fuel to the fire, if you like. I think people have calmed down since that series of hearings where we heard about scandals in various institutions. The danger for an overreach from a regulatory point of view is that we throw the baby out with the bathwater. But I do think there are clear examples or areas where regulation can change. I certainly think that the consumer expectations and the Royal Commission is driving behaviour already. So I don't think it will complete a transformation. I think transformations continue with innovation and technology, but I think it's going to reset the playing field, if you like, or reset the status quo to a new equilibrium in which we can all continue to invest and compete, but also create outcomes. So adding some colour to that, we're already seeing institutions think about, can they continue to operate only selling their own products? And I use the word selling deliberately. Can they continue to operate advising across multiple products so that their clients get the best outcome. Advising across multiple products would require having an open access market for those institutions, which means they'd be effectively advising on products they don't manufacture. That trend is already happening, with some institutions scratching their head and going, how do we deal with this? ASIC have said 90% of the flows in our business come into our own products, yet we're supposed to be providing advice, which arguably is a fiduciary service rather than a sales service.
They've got to get out of the advice business, don't they? I mean, don't you think that the whole thing has to be broken apart?
Look, I'm not as extreme as that. I think you can operate what we might call in the industry a vertically integrated model as long as you've got great products and you can justify those products. But if you're only going to sell your own product, that's very dangerous and reeks of conflict. I surprisingly, even though I compete with the institutions, the traditional model, think that vertical integration is able to be done properly, but it's not been done properly to date. The extreme of that is maybe they can only be in manufacturing or advice. I think there is a middle ground that can work, but it requires some commitment and some smart thinking.
Well, it's been fascinating talking to you, Andrew, as always. So thanks very much for joining us.
No problem. Thank you, Alan.
I've been talking to Andrew Alcott, who's the CEO of Hub24.